This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The USDA released its prospective plantings report last Friday with soybean acres higher than predicted by University of Illinois professor Todd Hubbs. This morning, we'll talk with Todd about his planting predictions and how they aligned with the report, as well as the current state of the commodity markets and what farmers can expect to see in future months if the numbers in the report hold true.
The prospective plantings reports, the soybean numbers were larger than I expected. They came in at 89.5 million acres, and I had it just a little bit higher than USDA's numbers at 88.4. Corn acre came in at 90 million acres. So this is the first time in a long time we've seen soybean acreage in prospective plantings be almost equivalent to corn. It was a bit of a surprise. I think the market had probably priced in a pretty hefty increase in soybean acreage, but I'm not sure everybody thought it would be 89.5 million acres. In particular, we saw record plantings out in the western Corn Belt. Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, they all came in record high soybean planting intentions, and even in Indiana as well, in the eastern Corn Belt. But when you look across most of the soybean growing states, almost all of them increased soybean acreage by a bit. Corn, the 90 million acres was not too much lower than I had. I had it at 90.5. It's sort of what I expected. I just didn't expect the soybean acres to be that high. And it looks like soybeans are, replacing wheat and other feed grains in a lot of places. When we look across the complete suite of feed grains, sorghum was down about 900,000 acres. Winter wheat was down about 3.4 million acres. Barley was down. Oats were down. I mean, when you start looking at it in detail, even if you don't think a lot of wheat's fed, if you take even wheat out of it, when you add up all the reduced acres in feed grains holding out wheat, it's about 5.5 million acres less feed grain acres in 2017. That's really going to put an emphasis on, what the yield in corn is going to be in 2017 for feed grains. So it's quite interesting. Now, these are planting intentions, so things can change as we move into the planting season. But farmers right now are saying a lot more soybeans, a lot less corn and other feed grains.
Absolutely. As you said, things can definitely change. I think we all were expecting to see those soybean numbers increase. And as you said, it's a little bit higher than what you expected. So we've been seeing some depressed prices in the beans. And if that holds true during planting season, I assume we're going to continue to see that. Or what are your thoughts?
I think you're going to see pressure on soybean prices. There is a downside, right, in my opinion. Right now for 17-18, I've got soybeans at about $8.95 for the seasonal average price through 2017-18, and that's assuming, pretty decent consumption in crush and in exports. But, we expect exports to be down a little bit with this huge Brazilian crop that's coming in this year. We'll see as we move forward. Soybean prices are going to come under pressure. Myself and Daryl Good and Scott, and we've been talking about this for a few months now. You could sort of see it coming. We'll see as we move forward. But, yeah, I think we're looking around the $9 range right now. It could get worse, but I don't think it will.
You just mentioned the Brazilian crop, and that was what I was going to ask you about, was how things were looking in South America and how that was affecting our prices right now. So it sounds like they're going to have a good crop, which is only going to increase supply.
That's correct. Global supply is going to be high this year. The Brazilian crop's in. This isn't something where, the numbers are changing all the time, but you hear reports out of Brazil, but it's a big crop, and we'll get some final ideas as the year moves along, but they had a really good soybean crop this year, and they're going to be competitive in the export market with our soybeans as we move through the summer and into the fall of this year. So, it's going to be a it's us against Brazil. It sort of feels that way right now. I don't think it's as clear as that. Some of it is, you know, is China going to continue to increase their demand for soybeans like we've seen over the last 10 years? Or is there going to be a pullback on that a little bit, or maybe some stagnation? So if China keeps continuing their strong demand for soybeans, year-over-year growth in that, you know, we might see some relief in the export markets, but we'll see as the year moves along.
So it sounds like we're going to have some tough months ahead, although things can change. But with what you're saying with that large crop and all other things considered, so do you have any advice for farmers right now with these marketing challenges that we're having, or things that you'd like to say to them?
Well, hopefully you may have priced some of your new crop, and if you still got old crop in the bin, which from the grain stocks reports, it looks like there's still a lot of farmers that have beans in the bin, maybe not on farm, but in storage somewhere. I don't know how many people have already priced that. Hopefully some of that's been priced. If you haven't priced any of your old crop or even started to think about pricing your new crop beans, you know, try to look for some opportunities as we move through the planting season. I mean, there's a probability that we might have some kind of weather, you know, weather movement or some kind of little run. If you see one of those come up, maybe think about pricing some of your soybeans. And, you know, I hope that works out for everyone. But if you haven't priced anything, you need to really be paying attention to the market and looking at price movements and trying to get your price locked in. One of the positive things is we did have a really nice projected price for crop insurance. It was $10.19 for soybeans. So, you know, if you're out and you get revenue protection, there's that. So that's one positive thing. But I don't know if we're going to see that kind of price. I don't project seeing that kind of price level again this year.
Todd Hubbs, professor of ag commodity markets for the University of Illinois. Well, a coalition of more than 30 ag groups is pressing Congress to repeal the estate tax. A letter sent to the House Ways and Means Committee asked that any tax reform package include permanent repeal of the tax. Sometimes referred to as the death tax, the levy is imposed on the net value, less an exemption, of an owner's assets transferred at death. For the 2016 tax year, the exemptions for the estate tax are $5.45 million for an individual and $10.9 million for couples. Transferred estates valued at more than those figures are subject to a maximum tax rate of 40% on the amount of assets above those levels. The ag groups, which includes the National Pork Producers Council, wrote in the letter saying that the estate tax is especially damaging to agriculture because we are a land-based, capital-intensive industry with few options for paying estate taxes when they come due. In other news, the Department of Agriculture has authorized emergency grazing on Conservation Reserve Program lands in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, the three states most heavily impacted by wildfires last month. USDA Acting Deputy Secretary Michael Young issued a memo authorizing the emergency grazing of cattle by ranchers who are facing the loss of their herds due to lack of sufficient grazing land. Young says the authorization will allow ranchers to salvage what remains of their cattle and return to the important business of feeding Americans and the rest of the world. The authorization follows an order by President Trump to release the CRP grounds for grazing. The USDA action is required to direct the Farm Service Agency to permit the grazing on lands covered by CRP. The move was applauded by Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts and the National Cattlemen's Association. And don't forget that we do have a local effort going on to help a family who lost cattle and their homes due to the wildfires. The Dorsey family from Morrow, Illinois, has an account at the First National Bank of Staunton located in Maryville, and donations can be sent there and made payable to the Kansas Wildfire Relief Fund. And that does it for this morning's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.